Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Fastamai, good evening. Welcome to the programme where we'll take you through some of the main news in under half an hour. So coming up, it's been a bit of a week politically, hasn't it? We'll take a look back at what's been happening and we'll also hear from the sacked Treasury Minister who says he was caught off guard by the government's sudden change of direction. That's coming up shortly. Also tonight, the Chamber of Commerce gives its reaction as ministers scale back the proposed minimum wage increase. Have you heard of death cafes? We'll be finding out what they are and why they're growing in popularity. And later, we'll meet the teenagers developing an innovative straw, and it's designed to detect whether a drink has been spiked. All that, the weather, the traffic and the travel as usual. And if you'd like to get in touch, you can email us at studio@manxradio.com. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Siobhan Fastamai.
The conviction of a man accused of causing death by dangerous driving on the island has been quashed and a retrial has been ordered. 37-year-old Jackson Paul was found guilty of the offence at Douglas Courthouse in February last year, but appealed against the verdict. A date for the retrial has not yet been set. The Alamann Post Office insists it's not closing any post offices, although it admits it is planning to make some adjustments to how it operates. It says it's working closely with all of its retail partners to adjust opening hours and service provision in a sustainable way, and will announce further details of this early next week. Speaking for the first time since his dismissal, former Treasury Minister Alex Allenson says he was surprised by the government's change of direction on economic policy.
I absolutely believe in structures like the NHS in terms of our benefit system, in terms of a whole range of policies, but those aren't at the expense of pragmatic ways of working with private enterprise, working with private business.
Wishing Chris Thomas, the new minister, well, Dr. Allenson says he hopes planned investment in areas such as infrastructure, connectivity, education and health will be preserved. And a group of students from Ballacameen High School are working to develop a straw which can detect if a drink has been spiked. The project is part of a Junior Achievement Isle of Man scheme. Team Valoris says they chose to create the straw following their own experiences of being spiked. Further afield, an ex-Wiltshire Tory councillor pleaded guilty to drugging and raping his ex-wife over a 13-year period. Philip Young's 48 offences date between 2010 and 2024. Sir Keir Starmer suggested Donald Trump should apologise for saying British troops served a little off the front lines in Afghanistan.
I consider President Trump's remarks to be insulting and frankly appalling. And I'm not surprised they've caused such hurt to the loved ones of those who were killed or injured.
The US president made the comments in an interview when he reiterated his belief NATO wouldn't support America if asked. And Charlie XCX's mockumentary about her Brat Tour is having its premiere at the Sundance Film Festival. The moment will be in cinemas on the 20th of February. There are your headlines. I'll have your news in full at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you as ever by Manx Glass and Glazing. So this evening it's going to be cloudy and windy. It is going to be dry though. Strong easterly winds, temperatures around 6 or 7. Most of tomorrow will still be dry, some brightness as well possibly, but still with those strong easterly winds. It will then rain later in the evening. The winds will become gale force in some places. Maximum temperatures tomorrow around 8, and then gales and rain tomorrow night. What a joy, but on Sunday it will dry up as those winds ease.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's 4 minutes past five. The conviction, as we've just been hearing, of a man accused of causing death by dangerous driving on the Isle of Man has been quashed and a retrial has been ordered. Lewis Foster has this report from BBC Isle of Man.
37-year-old Jackson Paul was found guilty of the offence at Douglas Courthouse in February last year, but appealed against the verdict. Deemster Anthony Cross said the staff of government, the island's Court of Appeal, formed the view that the appeal should be allowed and a retrial should be ordered. The Deemster urged people not to speculate on social media and said he would not hesitate to take action if anyone acts in contempt of the court. A date for the retrial has not yet been set.
Lewis Foster reporting there. So, as I mentioned at the start of the programme, there's been quite a few things happening politically this week, and it means that the road to this year's budget has been a pretty bumpy one, namely the fact that the Treasury Minister has only been in the position for 4 weeks by the time it comes around. Well, Amy has been having a look back at this administration just to see, first of all, how we got to this point.
After the September 2021 general election, Aaron Michael MHK Alfred Cannon was elected Chief Minister by his peers. The following month, he revealed his priorities for the next 5 years as he published the first draft of Our Ireland Plan. One of the commitments made was moving the minimum wage towards parity with the living wage. Fast forward to February 2024, and the Treasury Minister Alex Allenson presented his budget to Tynwald, announcing plans to create an NHS levy, a separate tax that would be used to plug the funding gap for the island's health service. This was to be introduced in the 2025-26 financial year, and while it was logistically worked out, Dr. Allenson temporarily raised the higher rate of income tax by 2% to 22%, although the personal allowance thresholds were kept the same. But in February 25's budget, Dr. Allenson announced that introducing the proposed NHS levy had proven more challenging than initially predicted. He delayed the implementation of the levy and also lowered the higher rate of income tax by 1% to 21%, halving the increase of the previous year. That extra 1% would still be ring-fenced for health, though. The personal tax allowance thresholds were also raised by £250 for individuals and £500 for jointly assessed couples, the first increase in 3 years. In July 2025, Tynwald approved plans to scrap making the minimum wage align with the living wage, instead agreeing it should be calculated as a proportion of the median wage. 2 months later, and the Treasury Minister announced he was scrapping the NHS levy following the results of a public consultation which had over 3,800 responses. In October last year, Tynwald approved proposals to increase the minimum wage to £13.46, an increase of 9.9%, which would come into force from the 1st of April 2026. It passed with 25 votes for and 7 against, with all members of the Council of Ministers voting in favour of it, including the Chief Minister. However, businesses across the island raised concerns about the move, warning it could be devastating, particularly for those in the hospitality and retail sectors, who are already struggling with the impacts of the increased cost of living. Now, buckle up, because a lot has happened in the past week. On Monday, Mr. Cannon made the shock announcement that, after nearly 4 years in the role and with a month to go until the last budget of this administration, he'd asked Treasury Minister Dr. Allenson to step down, as well as the Infrastructure Minister Dr. Michelle Hayward. In the letter he sent to Dr. Allenson, Mr. Cannon said it was to allow for a reset of our approach to the economy. Chris Thomas was appointed as Dr. Allenson's replacement, promising his priorities would be to address concerns surrounding the introduction of the minimum wage by taking a slower approach to the increase being proposed, and to work with officers to ensure there's a substantial rise in personal allowances at the budget. On Tuesday, Mr. Cannon tabled an amendment proposing to reduce the speed with which the minimum wage increase was implemented. It was supported by his political colleagues in Tynwald, although notably not Dr. Allenson or Dr. Hayward, meaning that the rate will increase by 5% from April rather than the previously proposed 9.9%. As well as the changes to the rollout of the minimum wage increase, Mr. Cannon's Tynwald amendment also agreed that a substantial increase in the personal allowance thresholds should be brought forward at the budget. A highly unusual move given the confidentiality of the Pink Book, which is strictly top secret until the Treasury Minister gives their budget speech before Parliament. And the final date on our timeline is Thursday, the 24th of September 2026, which just so happens to be the date of the Isle of Man's next general election. Just saying.
Amy reporting there. You can find that article on the Manx Radio website. And mentioning the budget programme, we will have the live discussion programme with the Treasury Minister, Chris Thomas. It's happening on Friday, the 20th of February. It's at Lukey's Bar in the Best Western Palace Hotel. If you would like to be there and put your questions to them, you can reserve your seat by just clicking the link on manxradio.com. Well, the former Treasury Minister, Dr. Alex Allenson, has spoken publicly to us for the first time since being sacked, saying he was surprised by the government's change of direction. He said where there was a lot of work on the budget that had already been done, he wished his successor, Chris Thomas, well. He also says he hopes to plan in investment in areas... That makes no sense. He hopes plans to invest in areas like infrastructure, connectivity, education and health aren't lost.
we joke that a week's a long time in politics, a day's a long time in politics as well. But I do wish Chris Thomas all the best for taking on the mantle. I had a very challenging time for him because obviously we've spent a lot of time really since last July on the budget for this year. That was decided and agreed by council ministers. It's been printed, and there's a briefing of it next week. And obviously he and the chief minister have said that they want now to do changes to that. And so I look forward to the presentation and the changes that they want to bring in. Anyone coming into this role will have their own ideas of what the priorities should be for the country. As I said, we from a Treasury perspective, we've been working with all the departments in terms of their needs, investing in the infrastructure of our island, looking at the revised island plan, and particularly looking at issues such as security, safety, but also connectivity, and really also the investment in education and health that we need. I very much hope that those are preserved. We have some powerful lobby groups on the Isle of Man. They all have their own agendas and their own wants and needs. What Timbald agreed back in 2021 was to merge the living wage with the minimum wage. It came out of a poverty committee report, and that's been Timbald policy up until Tuesday. It is very surprising that 1 month later, government does a U-turn and also Timbald changes its mind. But that's democracy for you. And as Alistair Ramsay was saying on an interview, we do have lobby groups on the Isle of Man. They can be quite influential because of the immediacy of politicians here. And there are lots of different ways of making sure people are out of poverty. I do believe that people getting a decent wage is one of them. And when I look at people who serve me in restaurants or bars and look them in the face, I think they're worth £13.46 an hour. What I've tried to do ever since I came into government, both in terms of this administration, from Department of Enterprise and then being asked by the Chief Minister to move into Treasury, was promote our economic strategy, promote what we wanted to do for society to increase wages, but also invest in the infrastructure and make sure those businesses on the island could thrive. I am pragmatic. I'm also a patriot in terms of the Isle of Man and want this place to thrive.
That is the former Treasury Minister now, Dr. Alex Allanson. You can hear much more on Agenda. It will be a tale of two Treasury Ministers on Monday, an extended programme from 5:30. It's 12 minutes past five.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
So all looking okay on your way home this evening, apart from the usual things we know about those temporary lights on Alexander Road in Castletown, 24 hours a day. Ballasalla, Orisdale Road closed, and there are temporary lights on the St Mark's Road in Colby, temporary lights just near the pub there, and in Sulby until the end of next month. The Clannet Road is closed between Sulby and Sandygate. All looking okay down at the airport this evening, and then with the steam packet, the Manxman is due into Douglas at around about 5:30, and we'll be heading out again to Heysham at 7:15. There is a question mark over tomorrow afternoon's sailings, and that's because of the weather forecast. So decisions will be made by 8 a.m. tomorrow, and we'll let you know as soon as we hear.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicle's winter check so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's coming up to 5:15. So you might remember this time last week we heard from Sue Scott. She's a former air traffic control officer at Ronalds Way. She called into the Man in Line programme when Dr. Michelle Hayward, now the former infrastructure minister, appeared live. Here's what Mrs. Scott had to say about her time at Ronalds Way.
Personally, I left as a matter of principle because that airport is the worst managed and the least safe I have come across in over 43 years in this industry.
If you would like to meet up and talk about those issues, you know, I'd be happy to arrange a meeting with you and to discuss it. And it sounds like you have quite a lot of information perhaps that would be good for me to be aware of.
So that was the former Infrastructure Minister, Dr. Michelle Hayward, talking to Sue Scott there. Lewis is with me just now. Faster my Lewis. Just remind us, we had that little clip there, but what was Mrs. Scott questioning the minister about specifically?
Fasamai. So Mrs. Scott was pushing for more details about why the airport was placed under special attention status by the Isle of Man Civil Aviation Authority in 2019. This is separate to that which was applied to air traffic services last year. Well, Mrs. Scott said the wider status on the airport was issued due to the absence of a documented safety management system, and she asked whether that was still active, something Michelle Hayward said she would seek clarity on. Well, the minister, of course, at the time, added that she's as confident as she can be that the airport's operations are safe and the team down there were working their way through the issues identified. But it's fair to say, I think, that Mrs. Scott's comments on Man in Line definitely caught people's attention on the island. Afterwards, she told me she would be taking up the minister's offer to meet.
And now we know there have been a lot of changes this week. Tim Crookall is now the infrastructure minister, but I do understand we've had confirmation concerning that special attention status.
Yeah, that's right. So a week on, we've had this statement from the Department of Infrastructure, which says in January 2026, so this month, the Isle of Man Civil Aviation Administration removed the Isle of Man Airport's special attention status in relation to its safety management system as a result of the completion of a corrective action plan. However, the overall regulatory status remains at special attention in relation to its air traffic services, which was applied in August last year following an oversight audit and in recognition of ongoing pressures around staffing and training. Echoing what Michelle Hayward said at the time, it says the airport remains committed to building on the positive work undertaken over recent years to strengthen and continuously improve its safety management system, and this reflects the sustained efforts of teams across the airport estate. Day-to-day operations at the airport are undertaken by teams of qualified, experienced and dedicated staff, it says, whose sole focus is ensuring safe operations in partnership with its airlines, operators and third parties. The department has also told me that it's aware of online commentary relating to historic issues at the airport, and while it would not be appropriate to comment on individual matters relating to safety or personnel, the department remains committed to ensuring that all staff are supported in their roles with established processes in place to enable safety concerns to be raised.
And Lewis, do we know if the new minister, Tim Crookall, is going to meet with Mrs. Scott as Dr. Michelle Hayward said she would?
Well, it would appear so. I've been speaking with Mrs. Scott and she says she's been quite overwhelmed by the reaction since she called the man in line last Friday, and she was not expecting the level of interest her call has generated. She says a lot has changed, obviously, in the political landscape during the past week, but the issues at the airport do remain, and she would be glad to meet with the new minister. She says she hopes the insights she can share with him will be of use. An approach has been made, she says, and she's looking forward to the meeting.
Lewis, thank you very much indeed. We should also say Tim Crookall, the new DOI minister, will be live on Breakfast on Monday morning. He'll be here just after 8 a.m. If you've got any questions, you can send them in to the studio. 17 minutes past five. Well, the president of the Chamber of Commerce says government's decision to scale back the proposed minimum wage increase will be positive across the board. Claire Watterson believes the original near 10% rise risk forcing businesses to close and put jobs at risk.
This is going to be positive, we feel, across the board for our employers and our employees as well. I mean, we've said all along that fair pay matters. However, this has got to work for both the employees and the employers, and this will allow our business community to be more viable, and we need a vital, strong and resilient economy for us to flourish.
Low-paid workers might argue that the 5% doesn't keep pace with the cost of living.
We do have a higher cost of living. We live on an island, which adds its own costs over and above. However, to maintain employed roles, we need viable businesses. And if our businesses are struggling, which they have been in recent years, with the increased cost of utility prices, business rates, etc., then if those businesses aren't there, they're not going to employ anybody. So this needs to be fair on both sides. None of our members have ever said to us that they don't want to pay a fair wage. They would have loved to have been able to adopt the 9.9%. However, if that's going to actually put them out of businesses and those jobs at risk, then actually we're better to have a more sustainable increase. The ministers that we do engage with, they do try their best. They are engaged with their constituents, they are engaged with Isle of Man business, and where they need assistance in pulling some of this information together, we do try our best to support them with that. But we are aware that they have listened to the feedback. It has been difficult. You've seen the backlash this week. And so it hasn't been an easy decision for anybody, but it shows that actually they have been listening. They have taken that time to understand the pressures on the businesses and the impact it will have on employees and employers. And they're working to find a solution that suits everybody as best as possible.
That's the president of the Chamber of Commerce, Claire Watterson there. It's coming up to 20 past five. Have you ever heard of a death cafe? So this is a space for people to come together and discuss all manner of topics around the subject of death, will writing or how to plan a funeral, for example. And it's a concept that's seen all over the world, but it was first hosted on the Isle of Man last year and a second series began today. The event organiser, Julie Hotchkiss, has been talking to Darren.
People can come and talk about whatever they like as long as it's related to death and dying. So there's no set agenda. I usually give a little talk to just sort of loosen things up, in which I say things like, for instance, everybody dies. We're all going to meet that in the end. And it's a normal process. And there's a lot of taboos around it. And so I just kind of encourage people to speak. And sometimes it can be quiet for quite a while, but we just leave it quiet until someone feels that they want to speak. And we've talked about all kinds of things, from like what you could do with ashes. And that was particularly, I think, because we had someone who'd worked at the crematorium for a number of years. And so there were lots of questions directed to her. Or one of the cafes, we really focused on family relationships and discord. And that was because we had a man who didn't have any children of his own. He had a niece and nephew. They didn't speak to each other. And he was very concerned about what was going to happen as he was dying, and then, you know, when he was dead, and how they would manage his estate. And yeah, so very different. And sometimes we've had people whose grief is quite fresh still. It's probably best really if, well, they need to really have a look at themselves and think, am I really ready yet to go and talk in that sort of situation? Because people are talking about things which can be quite distressing. Ideally, we get people before they're in the situation of dying or their loved ones are. It's just that we want to get them talking, and it might be easier to talk in a room of anonymous people than to start the conversation with their friends and family. Because although people obviously do sometimes want to come and talk after a death has happened, and that's absolutely fine, we are trying to get it earlier in the process.
But in terms of grieving, how does that get dealt with in the sessions?
Well, we're not really a place that deals with grieving. That's the purview of other professionals. We're not professionals. We're just ordinary people. And I know that with crews, they like to wait until people are past that acute grief period and only deal with them sort of 6 months afterwards. So, yes, there does seem to be a bit of a gap in what's available for people when they're still at that very raw stage of grieving.
That's Julie Hotchkiss talking to Darren there. So the first session was at Douglas City Library this afternoon. There are two more sessions, one on the 21st of February from 2 p.m. and one on the 19th of March, again, both at Douglas City Library. Now, a group of students from Ballycommeen High School in Douglas are hoping to develop a straw that can detect if a drink has been spiked. So that is when someone puts alcohol or drugs into somebody else's drink without them knowing. These students are part of a team called Valoris, and they're taking part in a programme which is run by Junior Achievement Isle of Man. Team members Daisy, Isabel and Johan have been talking to Lewis.
So we are making a straw that can detect if your drink has been spiked. We find it's more discreet than other alternatives, like there's a nail finger paint that you can do, which you can dip your finger in, but that's also not very hygienic. You'd have to wash your hand. So
some people put like rubber dams, yeah, don't they, over the top of glasses, especially if they haven't got a bottle that they can just put their thumb over. Why was it you were inspired to do something like this?
So we've got a team of 6 people, and out of that, 2 of us had been spiked within like a 12-month period. And it wasn't like all here on the island, but we thought, like, especially because it was like such like a personal issue with us in particular, that it would be worth getting the word out and trying to make a difference.
Lots of the ones out on the market, they're not easy to hide, so there might be a risk of like embarrassment, which maybe prevents people from using these products. So we thought ours was nice, and especially people our age, like you wouldn't really want to be seen with like a cup cover. It's a bit embarrassing. So we thought ours is more targeted towards young people, maybe on a night out, to be a bit more discreet.
Have you had to do mock-ups? Have you had to make a prototype?
Yeah, so we actually made a prototype today. It's really simple. You can have the straw sitting in the drink, and then if you go up to the toilet and then you come back, you can just dip it in the drink, put it aside, and just wait for a little result, and there will be a color change on the actual testing strip.
How does the junior achievement work then? What steps have you got to do now for this competition?
Essentially, it starts like in September. You go to like a open evening with like all of the other teams from your school. You basically get taught how you should market it, like how to like do all the finance parts and what kind of products you can and can't make. And then around December time, you need to pitch your presentation and your product to basically like a panel of judges. And we actually, so that's called pitch it, and we got in the top five. We don't know like whether we placed in like whatever, but they basically chose like the top five teams from across the island, which they could see going the furthest. And then after that, in March, we have like basically a day where we present it in front of all the other teams across the island. And we make like trade stands where everyone else, like anyone from the island, can come in, speak to us, learn about the team, learn about the product. And you like apply like a business report and stuff. And then essentially whoever wins that on the island then goes to Riga and competes within Europe.
How incredible. Daisy, Isabel and Johan there, the junior achievement team from Ballacamine High School. 25 past five, Update Sport is brought to you by The Print Shed and also by Rob Pritchard.
Faster Mai. First off, a battle of first against third in the Canada Life Men's Premier League is among a busy programme of fixtures penned in across Manx football this weekend. Current top flight leaders Corinthians will be hoping to maintain their hold at the summit when they travel to take on an Onchan side, which is currently on a run of three straight victories in all competitions. Elsewhere, second place Peel, who are 4 points behind Corinthians, but with two games in hand, host bottom of the table Foxdale, who are still searching for a first win of this campaign. You can see a full schedule of this weekend's Isle of Man football fixtures at manxradio.com. Sticking with football, following a narrow defeat in midweek, FC Isle of Man return home to home soil in the NWCFL Premier Division tomorrow. The Ravens host South Liverpool at the Bowl tomorrow night, with the Manx side hoping to end a run of three straight losses. South Liverpool, meanwhile, are also on a three-match losing streak, but they were 3-1 winners over the Islanders in the reverse fixture in October last year. In rugby, former Isle of Man rugby star Bevan Rodd has been named in England's Six Nations squad for 2026. The 2023 Isle of Man Sportsman of the Year is one of the 20 forwards called up as part of Steve Borthwick's 36-man team, which will get its campaign at the tournament underway at the start of next month. England's first match of this year's series will be against Wales in round one on Saturday, the 7th of February at 4:40pm. Also in rugby, a recent slump in form in Regional 2 Northwest means Douglas have ground to make up towards the top end of the table this weekend. In a rearranged fixture, the Manx side are on the road at Burnage at 2:15pm on Saturday and hoping to improve on a run of three defeats in their last four. Also tomorrow, there's local rugby action as Southern Nomads host Western Vikings at Ballykillia Park, also at 2:15pm in the Manx Shield. And in hockey, multiple teams will be hoping to maintain perfect starts on game week three of the 2026 season on Saturday. Among the ties is a meeting of two top rivals in the Men's Premier League as Backers A and Vikings A face off, with both hoping to keep up their flawless early season form. Details of all of tomorrow's local hockey ties are available on our website.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob, who now hot foots it to the next studio because it's Friday Sport next. So Rob, bringing you all the very latest details on everything that's happening this weekend. So that is all from Update tonight. Remember, the DOI Minister, Tim Crookall, will be with the breakfast team live on Monday morning, just after 8am. Any questions at all, do send them in, studio@manxradio.com. So that will be coming up live and you'll be able to find it in full on the Manx Radio website afterwards as well. After Rob, Chris Kinley will be here at 6:30 as usual on a Friday night with Greatest Hits. It's then Jumping In with the Kane Brothers from 9, and Ree will be with you with After Hours from 10. Whatever you're doing this weekend, have a good one. Update will be back at 5pm on Monday.